You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Well, men, welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast. We are in the holiday season, so by the time you're hearing this, we will have wrapped up Thanksgiving. We're gearing up for Christmas, so it's an exciting time. And today I am joined by Sean Leary and Matt Marple. Guys, welcome back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
This is try number two.
Yes.
This is try number two, Matt. We did our best the first time, and nobody really knows this because the episode never came out, but we had a great conversation.
God spoke, and the technology didn't work, and he said, that's not good enough. We'll try that again later. So here we are trying it again.
We thought before the end of the year we should, like, you know, really just put a good exclamation point on the year. We should right our wrongs, right, and get Matt back on the podcast, mainly because you have so much good knowledge onto that. So,
we'll see.
We're excited to have you.
Yeah, and we're continuing our conversation on our calling as men. That's kind of been our theme for the year and what it looks like to be faithful in kind of the gardens that God has placed us in to work and to keep. Those are kind of the key phrases that we've been exploring. And as we kind of conclude our year, I really wanted to circle back on a discussion of just what it looks like to follow Jesus, be servants of Jesus, and living all of life under his lordship. In some ways, he's the head garden keeper. And so we steward the garden under his care, under his direction. And so we wanted to bring Matt on to talk about kind of what that has looked like in your life in big picture and small picture, because you've been kind of going through some pretty cool changes in life recently that we've been getting to hear little bits of, and wanted to just kind of invite you on to ask about some of those things. But I think before that, Sean learned some interesting things about Matt and did some research on him beforehand. I don't know if you want to share any of Matt's background.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Shameless plug.
Well, yeah. And that's just to build up Matt a little bit. Maybe some of our listeners do know Matt, some won't, but after I kind of plug you as being a really good head ball coach, you know, and you've coached World Series champion, multi-time World Series champion, you've been in the classroom for a while, you're part of our men's ministry team, but yeah, the research he was talking about was just, I was trying to find how many winning record seasons you had coaching on the ball field, but yeah, that just led us to talking before we were recording about the opportunity that you had to serve in a lot of young men's life and how that looks. So do you kind of want to just give like a little elevator pitch on kind of who you are in FBC and why we've got you here in the chair today?
I was raised on a farm and just a big kid. I always was a big kid. And my brother fixed up a tractor. He was in the FFA program, fixed up a tractor. And Ron Bowen, who was the head football coach at Washburn Rural, came out and was talking to me. He said, geez, you're a big boy. If you know Coach Bowen, you know, just a cattle raiser from up at Effingham. You're a big boy. You ever play football? And he started talking about it. I said, oh, that'd get me off the farm. That sounds pretty good. So I started playing football for Coach Bowen. Lucky enough to play on two state championship teams with him and just had a lot of success. Met a lot of great people. And then, you know, then the colleges started calling. Well, do you want to play college football? And I said, well, I never thought about going to college. What would I do? And I kind of liked history. So I've got a history degree, and I towed, you know, got my degree. And then now what am I going to do? So then I thought, well, I better teach and coach. So started teaching, worked for some great Coach Burkholder at Shawnee Heights, worked for 3 years there. Then I was head coach up at Oskaloosa, and then finished for 17 years at OSIT. Not as head coach the full time, but also coached baseball, you mentioned. If you followed the World Series and saw Blake Treinen out there, great man of God, just a super, super person. And I wish I could take some credit for it, but I can't. He's just a wonderful person. He was not a great high school baseball player, but God had him grow about 6 inches when he went off to college, and he got big and strong and can really throw the baseball. I'm very proud of him. And just it was a lot of fun watching the World Series. This is his second ring, so
that's awesome.
Just a lot of fun. Loved my coach and loved my teacher. I wouldn't trade anything. But I got out in 2017 prior to COVID, which was a wonderful blessing. I'm not a technology guy at all. So teaching remotely on a computer would have been miserable. My kids would have been miserable. I would have been miserable. So God looked out for me and got me out of the classroom. My wife, Glenda, owns corporate plan management here in Topeka, Kansas, and she hired me.
How generous.
How did you pass the background check?
Moment of her, she hired me, and I sell group health insurance. I'm an insurance broker and put the renewals and packages together for our new groups. And we mm-hmm. do self-funded health plans. And again, I've just been blessed. It's, mm-hmm. it's just been wonderful.
Yeah. You have kids?
Have the two greatest kids in the world. Again, all glory to God. Nothing I did. Glenda's a one. You know, I was thinking earlier, just the blessings, and I'll talk about blessings. You know, we're attracted to our wives because we're attracted to our wives, mm-hmm. not knowing what kind of a mother they'll be and mm-hmm. what type of a spouse they'll be. And mm-hmm. God just said, oh, Matt, you need a lot of help. I'm going to bless you with a saint. And she did. He did. And 35 years in January, been
That's
married.
That's awesome.
You know, got married when we were 20, and Glenda was 15. She's a lot younger.
No. Yeah, you know, right.
But just completely blessed. CJ's, as much as I tried to talk him out of him, has followed into coaching. He's the head football coach at St. Mary's and head baseball coach. Does a great job. Just he's so advanced past me. I was kind of a screamer and a yeller, and he's very calm and collected, and just very proud of him for not learning that part from me. You know, mm-hmm. I guess we all lead by example of what mm-hmm. to do and what mm-hmm. not to do. Mm-hmm. And I think he saw, you know, he was there with me all the way up
yeah.
as a kindergartner. I mean, he's been my ball boy and everything. So he was awesome. He was just immersed in it. But he's very calm and just collected, doesn't get rattled, just does a great job. And,
very cool.
Married to Haley. They have two kids, a third one on the way.
Wow.
And then Ann and Kyle. Ann's a nurse, just does a wonderful job. She works for Glenda at the company as well. She's just phenomenal, just a fabulous mother. She has two with a third one on the way.
Nice.
So we've got two more grandkids coming in the spring.
You're going to need a 12-passenger van here soon.
We just got a minivan just last week. We broke down and got the minivan. Mm-hmm. So, but just, again, just blessed, mm-hmm. just absolutely blessed.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, how you first came to know Jesus? And, yeah, when did you start
following
It's
all
Christ?
I've ever known. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church at Auburn, which is a whole nother story of how we got there. My grandfather proposed to my future grandmother, and his family said, if you marry her, you'll never get the farm. And so they left the White City area, Alta Vista area, and started shopping for a church mm-hmm. and came to the Presbyterian Church at Auburn in the 1920s. Hopefully nobody in my family is going to check me on that. I think it's the 1920s. And found the Auburn Presbyterian Church and loved mm-hmm. it and looked for some land and bought some land on the Wakarusa River there. Mm-hmm. And that's where they came to. Interesting side note, when Grandpa my great-grandpa came and saw the farm in Auburn. He liked it so much, he sold the old farm out there and moved right next to Grandma and Grandpa. And when he passed, guess who got the farm? Grandma and Grandpa.
Wow,
so it worked out. They didn't get the farm, but they got the new farm.
Nice.
And it all worked out in the end. So I was raised in the Presbyterian Church in Auburn. You know, I was a professional pew sitter. Mm. I was really good at being religious. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew what to do, how to do it, everything. Mm. But I was never a follower of Christ.
Mm. When did that change?
I always say, I brought Glenda to the church. Mm-hmm. Glenda brought me to Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, and I'll date myself here, when I went to the Presbyterian Church as a little bitty guy, they always handed out the picks. Have you ever heard of a picks?
No mm-hmm. idea what that is.
The picks. And I thought, well, nobody's going to know what I'm talking about picks. So I go, sure enough, it's on Wikipedia. It's a Christian comic book series.
Huh.
And, you know, I'd always come in, I'd grab the pick, I'd go to my pew, and I'd sit down, I'd read this comic book. And there was Jesus, and there was Moses, and there's all the stories. But at that same time, I was also reading about Batman and Superman. And so, you know, my picture of Jesus was, he's the superhero. He's mm-hmm. this guy that I learned about in the cartoons book, mm-hmm. you know. Well, it's not real. Batman's not real, you know. But I sat in the church, and I was just a pew sitter. And then I won't go into details, but some things happened at the Presbyterian Church, and we just looked for a new church. And my brother and his wife were coming here, and came here, and I went from a tiny little church of 50 on a weekend mm-hmm. to fellowship. And I just loved it. I could just blend in. Mm-hmm. Everybody asked me, how long you've been here? Oh, probably 20, 22 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I've never seen you before. Yeah, that's what I liked about fellowship. Mm-hmm. I could hide in the back. I'd come in. I'd do my pew sitting. I'm good. Checked off the box. Go home. And yeah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Glenda lost her mother in a difficult situation, and she started getting some counseling, and I saw the counseling working for her. And so basically I did my own counseling. I just started reading every book I could get my hands on, you know, and I did the shallow ones, the John Piper and the R.C. Sproul. And the,
not shallow at all.
You know, I just jumped right in and I started reading. And I think the thing that really hit me was I was so blessed. I've got the farm and got the cattle and got the grandkids and a job I love and a wonderful wife. And I just had no joy in my life. Mm. I was just numb. And where is that joy? And the more I read that joy is an overflowing of God's love, mm-hmm. you know, and this mm-hmm. is the theology to Matt. Please don't go, mm-hmm. you know, but I think, you know, happiness can be taken from you. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a new car, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I, you know, something good happened. I win a football game, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But next week I lose. Where'd that happiness can be taken away from mm-hmm. you. But joy to me comes from an overflow of God. No matter what's going on in your life, you should have joy. Mm. And I just realized I had no joy. And so, like I said, got to reading, got to thinking, and, you know, I just, I'm an emotional, I cry. You know, just when the Holy Spirit came into me, it just meant everything to me. Mm. It just, you know, little thing. I've watched thousands of babies being born, baby calves being born on the mm-hmm. farm. And I remember the weekend after I told Glenda that I feel like I've been saved, I sat down and just bawled watching a baby calf be mm-hmm. born and come into life and get up and walk around. And that's the joy I was missing. And to me, that's what it's all about.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've gotten to hear that like full story. I've heard pieces of that, yeah. but... And Matt, it is awesome to see how God works. And I think just such a testament to you can have it all. And if you don't have Jesus, like you don't have everything. Everything really turns mm-hmm. out to be nothing.
Yeah.
Now you said, you know, do the hay and you drive around in circles and you have a lot of time and think. And man, if I had that land, you know, the old farming joke is you don't want all the land in the world. You just want all the land that touches your land. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the land in the world, yeah, you know? Yeah, so I think I want that. I want that. Absolutely. I want that. And after my change, it's, you know, what could I be doing instead of this? I'm wasting my time out here mm-hmm. in the hayfield. Yeah. What could I be doing? There's so many things I'd rather be doing. And so there's changes coming in the Marple home.
Yeah.
I see where we want to go and I see, now it's just finding our way and getting there. Just so, you know, awake, aware, and available. I feel like I'm awake mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm aware and there's no way I'm available because I haven't had time to be available. Yeah. And that's a change that I'm trying to make is just to get to a place where I can be available.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. You're preaching to my heart a little bit, you know, just listening to that conversation. Likewise, I had not heard like a lot of that, but that happiness and joy, you know, separating those two was a huge thing. You know, transparency with me working in car sales, you talk about getting a van. And I think my first intention was, oh, well, why didn't you text me and ask me or anything like that, mm-hmm. right? Because there's like, oh, I could have made you happy, right? Or I could have mm-hmm. found, but then there's this aspect of, no, there's joy. Oh, that's so happy there. Their family's extending and that they found some, you know, obviously you're a smart guy. You guys are making smart decisions onto that. So, you know, so there's just even like playing it as life is unfolding, you know, there's so many moments throughout the day of like, am I happy in this situation? Or is there true, like, can joy kind of push me through when I'm not necessarily happy because of that? So that's awesome. And then that last piece, being available, just kind of talking about the limited amount of resources, limited amount of time that you feel like you have to push to God. How do you feel like, in this season of life, maybe this past year to where you've kind of been able to dive into deeper relationships with some younger guys. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to make yourself available to that, to some of us that just feel like we don't know like how to do that?
You know, I always shudder a little bit when somebody says, you know, trust me. Well, if you got to tell me to trust you, what the rest of the time, you know, you should always be able to trust me. Or, you know, I don't want to get into politics, but you know, I'm a devout Catholic, but you know, and then say, well, if you have to tell me you are, you might not be, you know, those kind of things. Oh, and here's my old age. I don't know where I was going with all of that. You ask about time. Mm-hmm. I have not been good at that. Mm-hmm. That is probably my biggest struggle. you know, I think people get into farming because you might be a little bit more of a solitude type person. Mm-hmm. You know, you get out on the farm and you're on the tractor and you're all alone. And it's also it's an independence. How many farmers unions are there? There's not very many because nobody gets into farming to join a union. I'm doing this to get away from people. And so farming was a good thing for me because you do it by yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody would always say, you know, even at the Presbyterian church and then here, you know, are you in a small group? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And, you know, that's between Jesus and me. And, you know, I was just very guarded of my time. You know, mm-hmm. this is my time. And I think that's one of the biggest things too, is just dying to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that is who I am. That farming, that's my time, that's my time, that's my time. Well, as I've come out of that shell in the last, geez, I don't know how long it's been now, one of the best things I've done is go to the Friday morning prayer group mm-hmm. and get to know those guys. And one morning I was talking about my farming and a young guy came up and he said, you know, I'd be available. I'd like to get into farming. If you ever need help, let me know. And I said, you better be careful what you're asking for because I'll take you up on that. And that's David Anderson. Mm-hmm. And David has really pushed my ways of thinking and really we, you know, I've grown and done things different on the farm that I've never done before. But I've opened up. He's running sheep on my farm. If you had told me 10 years ago, you're going to meet somebody at church and they're going to come out and help you on the farm and before long you're going to be running sheep on your farm, you're crazy. But I'm trying to be awake, aware. He's a young guy. I've got a great wife and just love him to death and he challenges me and I'm trying just to be more available. So, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I need to borrow your truck. 5 years ago, no, that's my truck, mm-hmm. you know, and now it's like, here's the keys, yep. you know, bring it back when you're done. Mm-hmm. He's going to down south somewhere to get some rams over the weekend. I just couldn't be happier for him. I just couldn't crazy. Be happier yeah. for him, jumping in the truck and trailer and yeah. going. That is so unlike me. If you knew me 10 years ago, that would have just never happened. I meet every Wednesday morning with an awake table, mm-hmm. and I just love those guys. David Lynch and Jesse Busby and Mike Hall and Lonnie Siebert and, you know, it's just been wonderful to get to talk to them and do life with them. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can't do this by yourself. Mm-hmm. You need the men, you need the challenges and the thought and the thinking and just, so my Fridays and my Wednesdays, I give up time, which is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. But it's been a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that is what happens when we start following Jesus is everything kind of comes under his discretion mm-hmm. and it's all up for him to say, hey, I want you to do this instead, or I want you to stop this and do this. And seeing how you've been kind of putting some of that into practice has been really encouraging to me because one of the coolest things about Jesus is that he was so available to be interrupted. He was available for the moments of God to do crazy things through him because he didn't live a life that was so crammed full of stuff. Right. Could have been good things. And our life is full of a lot of good things, but he didn't allow that to keep him from what was most important, which often was just the person that was right in front of him. And so seeing how you're starting to kind of bring some more of those things in your life under the lordship of Jesus and to just follow him in that way. That's so encouraging.
I'd be remiss not to mention Cy. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know mm-hmm. Cy, mm-hmm. This is another, the old Matt would have found 100 reasons not to. And honestly, I did for years put mm-hmm. it off.
Mm-hmm. And this was kind of like right at the beginning of when you were coming to Friday morning prayer, right? You had just been there like yeah. a week or two, yeah. a month. Yeah. And it was like, I have a huge, huge life decision that's mm-hmm. like, you know, and that's where your example was to me. So I was like, oh, this has just always been Matt, just so super like no, listening to the Lord and stuff like that. So
for years, this boy in our family, Cy, just been through some hardships in his life and don't need to get into the details on that. But Glenda would say, do you want to reach out? Do you want to help him? Do you want to do? No, I'm too busy. I'm still coaching. I'm still teaching. I'm doing all these other things and just don't have the time. And one of the earliest changes after my change was we brought Cy into our life and, mm-hmm. and we have him during the week and take him to school and tutoring him and got him on ball teams and just really, it's a lot of time, mm-hmm. but he's such a wonderful young man and we just see the growth and the change and it's just been wonderful and that never would have happened mm-hmm. Without my change. So,
yeah, just kind of, I was just thinking under God's lordship, right? Christ's lordship of how like just reflecting God's character, right? And just wanting to just be selfless, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I think sometimes when I'm asking these questions about availability and these next steps, it's just like, it comes down to like just dying to yourself, yep, right?
Exactly.
Just the selflessness. It's just, I have to just figure out how to just be unselfless. That way I can plug into God's word, God's scripture, and then just to listen. So yeah. I think that's one of probably my kind of speed bumps, roadblocks is just that ability to like selflessness. And I know that none of us are perfect, but how would you say like, you know, someone that struggles with selfishness in the small amount of time, you know, that all of us like have, you know, sometimes it feels like some of our, you know, myself included listening to this podcast, it's like, all right, I'm going to have to squeeze some time in to listen to this 45 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, so how did, you
so
know,
I'm going to put it on 1.5x speed or 2x speed.
Exactly. Right. When we both have,
I know what you do.
We have, yeah, 100%, you know, and we have 1-year-olds and we enjoy golf and football and everything else, you know, in our jobs. So just kind of,
and Matt has hit on it. It's that our time and our resources are not really our own. Mm. They actually belong to Jesus. When we give our lives to him, it's not just saying like, okay, I'm going to trust you with my eternity. It's I'm going to trust you with every single day from now, that moment until eternity, which is forever. Mm-hmm. So that brings everything under his discretion, like I was mentioning earlier. And that's something that you've been putting into practice, Matt, is, okay, Lord, what do you want to do in this area? It's asking him, it's like, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with my job? What do you want me to do with my home? What do you want me to do with my truck? It might be give it to David Anderson for a day. It might be, you know, keeping it so that you can do X, Y, or Z. It's just, but everything kind of comes with that question of, Jesus, what do you want me to do with X, Y, Z? Mm-hmm. And I don't think we often ask that question because our default is, well, I'm going to do what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do with it what I want to do. So one thing that Allie and I have been really challenged on recently is having a child. Having a 1-year-old, like you said, has been really, really challenging on our time. And frankly, I think that was one of the biggest roadblocks for us deciding to have kids is knowing at the get-go that you are saying yes to pouring your life into another person, raising this child, teaching this child about Jesus. And that's, you're signing up for that forever. Like there, you don't get to stop being a parent after you have kids. Right, Matt?
I would just say, the actual, you know, and Joe has talked about this, you know, you go from the parent to being the consultant, that switch comes a lot faster than you think. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking right now, geez, he's one for, or she's one for the next 18 years, but it's going to be life, but it goes so fast.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, this is a little cringy, but you know, cherish those smells.
I will.
Cherish those.
Well, some of them.
Yeah, I know, that's what I say, a little cringy, but cherish those things and really slow down because before long they're 33 and they've got kids. And they, you know, so really cherish that time. But you know, getting back to the time and making those changes, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And if you know me, you've heard me talk about it.
Great book, Mark Comer.
It's meant really the world to me. And I think getting back to the not having the joy, I think the reason I didn't have joy in my life is I'd be so excited about, oh, I'm going to go do this. And we're having a birthday party and it's going to be great. And we get the birthday, and as soon as that birthday party gets started, I'm thinking, I need to go to the farm. I need to get hay. I got this to do. So I would rush to something I look forward to. And the whole time I was there, I was worried about the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I was never in the moment. And that something had to change. So I'm selling all the hay equipment. I'm not going to put up hay for the first time in 30 years. I'm 55, so probably 30 years of putting up hay, working with my dad some, and then taking it over and doing it myself. Not going to put up hay anymore. Selling the equipment. No more upkeep on the equipment. I'm just tired of running and missing opportunities to be present.
Yes.
And I just want to be present in the, you know, where's dad? Where's grandpa? Yeah. Well, he's at the farm. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be present in my kids and my Si's life and my grandchildren's life and David and Maggie's life. And I just, so I'm just trying to slow down some.
Yeah. And I think that's really what this kind of process comes down to is, you know, we make sacrifices of things that are good things. That I think that's where we can get kind of tripped up sometimes. Like, well, putting up hay or working hard or, you know, having this hobby or that hobby or spending time with these people, these are good things. But it's having this perspective of what's the most important thing mm-hmm. that I can do with my time, that I can direct my effort and energy to. You know, we talked about this on last month's episode when we were kind of talking about friendship and community. It's like we have limited capacity for relationship. Mm-hmm. So there might be a cap that you put on the amount of people that you are investing mm-hmm. deeply into. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you're not friendly, kind, compassionate to strangers, but it might mean that, you know, you invite Cy into your life, but you might not have the capacity to invite another mm-hmm. kid into your life or mm-hmm. to help X, Y, and Z person. And it's not saying that it's now bad to say no in those situations, but it's making yourself available for the most important things. When Jesus says go, that you actually can go. Mm-hmm. Or when Jesus says do this, you actually mm-hmm. can say yes to this. Yeah. And it doesn't deplete you, hurt your family, and hurt the other commitments that you have in your life. So I think that's really important. I love that you're doing that. I think that's
we'll see.
Cool. Yeah.
We've started the process. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I'm in process of learning how to do better. Is I'm in the first 5 years of career work mm-hmm. and, you know, new dad and relatively new husband still, and mm-hmm. learning how to prioritize, like when you choose to be married, you know, when God allows you to have a wife and you step into that, it's like that becomes a significant priority. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that I used to like to do that are sacrifices for that end and for her and for her sake. Same with kids. Mm-hmm. Same with the work that you choose to do. We make these decisions and they're good decisions, but some things have to go to the wayside or get less of our time for the sake of the best things.
Yeah. As you're saying that, reminded me of something that Bob Fulmer said, you know, before, as far as in the sake of the marriage, you know, if there's something that's hurting the marriage, whether it's something good, you know, whether like a job or whatever it may be, like eliminate those things, you mm-hmm. know, that marriage is first thing. And then you go, then you talk about the marriage with Christ and the mm-hmm. church and all mm-hmm. of that. So that reflection from there, but that just eliminate makes me think, you know, I try to stay in and on this conversation, but then when there's really good conversation going, then your side bubble goes off. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, this, and this.
You know, I'll comment on that a little bit, and I was thinking about the same thing, Sean. You know, to be a good husband, you have to die to yourself a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were a video game, I was a fisherman. I loved fishing, mm-hmm. Just fished and played a lot of slow pitch softball. That dates mm-hmm. myself back when slow pitch was big.
It's so cool.
Hey, it's still around.
It's
big.
Still
back in the 80s and 90s, it was big.
Yeah.
Played a lot of softball and fit, you know, well, you get married, you don't mm-hmm. do that anymore. And I never had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But then in church, when I was, they were looking for volunteers for this. Well, that's my time. That's mm-hmm. my time. And because I was not a follower of Christ, I was mm-hmm. a pew sitter. You know, I could differentiate. I'll give up myself for my marriage, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to give up myself for Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was that's one of the big changes in the last 5 years. And again, it should bring you joy too, to serve and being on men's ministry and cooking with Randy in the kitchen and all the guys. I love that. That mm-hmm. is pure joy. Just sit around with a bunch of good guys and do good things. Mm-hmm. But I would have found every reason in the world not to get up at 5 o'clock and crack 1,000 eggs and do all that kind of stuff. But it brings me joy to do that. I love doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you've plugged Awake a couple of times. You know, I know this is our last episode of the year mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So just thinking about, I think all of us, we have done every session of Awake probably. Mm-hmm. That's five or six onto that. And just the content's been incredible. But that's only 6 weeks or 12 weeks throughout the year, right? Yep. So there's, doing quick math, 40 more weeks, 40 right? weeks. And that just shows you, you know, filling that time with community. That way you have the opportunity to, you know, have accountability or have, you know, a deeper relationship under that. So mm-hmm. I definitely, as you aware, awake and available, or awake, aware and available, you know, those three words that, I love that you keep saying those. And I'm sure Joe, you know, from, you know, season one would love that you keep saying like those three words, you know, because those are very much center points to a God-driven life of how you can, you know, succeed here on earth mm-hmm. under God's lordship. And then eternity, like you had said, like just making sure that he's not the Lord of eternity, but he's the Lord of right now. Yeah. I think that that's very like, I hope that hits like my ears and heart and like continuously mm-hmm. and instead of just seasons and stuff like that. So, so through that is a wake of 12 seasons, but the community groups that my community group, their community group, the ripple effect, yep. I, we see it throughout our church in the mm-hmm. conversations. So I pray that, that more men hear that and more men see that, because that's kind of a bit of our foundational piece of how we can kind of ripple onto that. So I hope that those three words that Matt keeps saying, that somebody writes them down or picks them up and recognize, okay, that's what that kind of means, and how I can just be an example of this to myself. I think about Matt as a dad and the example that you were talking about setting for these, for your players, right? But then the example that you set for your son, and then the example that you're setting for Sai. So it's just an example of a generational, let's recognize who is the Lord of our lives onto that. So,
I want to get like really practical with like how to kind of like a way to go about doing some of the things that you're talking about, Matt and Sean. And I don't know if it's what you did. It may not be, but it's something that I've heard on John Mark talk about on some of his other shows and things. For once you've kind of recognized and you've become awake to this reality that Jesus is Lord of everything, the next thing is that you need to be aware of everything in your life. What are you giving your time, talents, energy, and resources to? A really practical way to do that is something that he talks about, of making sticky notes of all of your commitments over the course of a week, month, year. So, and you fill a table, like we have this coming up on this date. So you put that sticky note on the table. It's like, we have this weekly thing that's happening. Put that sticky note on the table, whether it's hay, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's dropping kids off at school. It's like, you need to see in front of you, here's everything that I have committed effort, energy, and resources to. And once you've got a sticky note table full of all of these things, then you pray and you ask Jesus, like, what needs to go? What needs to go so that I can have more time for you, more time for the most important things in my life? And then you start removing sticky notes from the table, and you have this curated life, essentially, of the most important priorities that are going to get your full effort and attention. And then what you have left is margin. Margin to be available to what God might have you do. And what happens is there is the creep of things back into your life, which I'm sure even as you're beginning kind of this process, that things begin to creep back in, more commitments. Hey, I'm doing this now, Grandpa. Can you come to this thing? It's like, okay, yes, I'm available. And so this has to be a continual practice of, all right, let's take stock over this month. Let's take stock maybe quarterly, maybe over the year, and kind of look back on what have we said yes to and what needs to stop. And just restarting those things. I think we can get bogged down when we get so full that we feel bad. That's like, ugh, I got hurried again, or ugh, my life is so full of all this junk again, or I stopped doing XYZ practice.
And that's when it feels like you're running on empty, right? And that's when it feels like I'm reading the Devo to check a box, and I am not listening, and I am my head hits the pillow, and I'm thinking about my problems, and I wake up, and my problems are still there, and let's do it again, right? So,
yeah. And so it's learning how to live at the pace of Jesus with the priorities of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing when you start to live in accordance with how he has called us to live life. Right. And I think you're experiencing that.
I'm at the start of that.
Yeah.
I was taken aside to school just this last week, driving down Auburn Road, and a lovely Christian man, I'm sure, was driving about 40 in front of me. And I needed to get side of school, and I was running through everything, and it just hit me. I said, Sai, that man is living the life that I want to live. He's not in a hurry. He's going where he's going. He's going to get there when he gets there. And I love you guys that can, oh, that's John 3, da 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 da, and you know the scripture. I don't know the scripture. I know the stories. But my favorite story of Jesus is, so-and-so's dying, and you can save him. And he says, yeah, I'm going to lay down and take a nap, because he knows how it's going to turn out. Well, I should know how it's going to turn out. It's all Jesus. It's all God's. It's all, I'm just here for a while, kind of taking care of it. It's going to work out. And instead, I've always just been run and take care of it, run and take care of it, run and take care of it. And just to slow down and live, like you said, at Jesus's pace, sit and have a conversation. After a wake this morning, David and I sat and talked for another 30 minutes.
Awesome.
It was just nice. That's the pace that I'm trying to get to live. Like I said, selling the hay. When you know, everybody has voices in their head. My voices are always telling me buy more cows. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a voice that I'm trying to listen to. And I'm a marple, so my mind changes 20 times a day, you know. I'll get home from the farm and say, Glenda, the cows are going. You know, I'm done. I'm no more cows. And then 2 weeks later, I'm saying, hey, there's a cow sale coming. They got some cows that I'd really like. You know, mm-hmm. I go back and forth. But keeping our changes that we're making at the center and trying to slow down and have more time. Mm-hmm. I don't have to buy all the cows. Yes. You know, I've got some heifers that I've saved right now. I don't have to keep them. They could go. Would that give me more time to do the things that I'm talking?
Yeah.
You know, not rent that pasture next year. Would that give me more time? Let David have that pasture and slow down.
Yeah.
Those are decisions that I'm just trying to make with the farm and also the business. The business is going to be changing. Not going to be going to the office starting January 2nd. We're going to be working from home. Never done that one before. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes, but that should give us more time.
Yeah. And it's not like just an important nuance. It's not give us more time so we can do what we want to do. Right. And I think that's like, okay, I don't want you to hear stop working hard, stop doing XYZ thing so you can do more of what you want to do. It's create margin in your life so you can be available to what God wants to do. Right. That's really what we're talking about. So sorry to interject that thought. But
good point. I'd love it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So were there any kind of practical tools that you used in order to kind of think through what needs to go, what needs to stay?
And I'll give David some credit for this one too. I'll say, I'm thinking about doing this. And he said, will that make you happy? Will that bring you joy? You know, and so I've really with the farm tried to get rid of things that I don't really like doing. When haying is good and the machine's all running good, it's a lot of fun. But when you have a breakdown, you start turning wrenches, it's no longer any fun. And then it just hit me. Well, what if I never had to turn another wrench? What if I never had to adjust the baler? What if I never had to put a new belt on the mower? That sounds pretty good. And so that's a change that I can give up. And so I'm going to give that up. And instead of putting up hay, I'm going to buy hay and see how that works. And if it doesn't work, I can sell the cows, you know, which are just thoughts that I've never had before. You know, who is Sean Leary? You know, when you start saying that, well, who is Matt Marple? Well, you know, I'm a father and I'm a husband and I'm a rancher. You know, cattle have been a part of my life as long, you know. What happens when you don't have the cows? We might find out. It's just, I want to be awake and aware and available. And if the cattle are getting in the way, then they got to go.
Yep. You had asked me a question similar when we had a good conversation about some things. And like, if God eliminated this from your life and this from your life, this from life, who is God? You know, do you believe him to be true and to be good? And if the way you answer that question speaks volumes to how you want to be going under that, right? So eliminate the things of your life. Do you, all the good and the bad, right? Eliminate it all. Where do you sit? Who are you? You know, are you in love with the Father, listening to who he is and believe that he is true? Or are you like, meh? So.
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets tough for us as guys when a big part of, I think, our identity is often our work. And so whatever it is that we do, it kind of becomes a core part of who we are. So what happens when some of that gets put away or intentionally cut off, is I think we have to come back to the more core aspects of who we are, which at our base, we are followers of Jesus. Right. We're sons of God. Okay. So that changes no matter, that stays the same no matter what changes around us. So even if Matt the rancher is no longer Matt the rancher, you are Matt, the son of God. You are still husband to your wife. You are still father to your kids. Like those are core aspects of who we are. And I think that those really provide a grid for our core priorities too, which I think is a good way as we kind of think about what decisions we make is what are the values that are the most important thing that I want to keep the most important thing. The hay can go so that I can be more intentional with my family. The cows can go so that I can be more intentional with my family. But if those things are the way that you provide for your family financially, you might not be able to let those things go, you know, if that's the case. Yeah. So it's just those are things you have to navigate all of those. So we have responsibilities, there are things. But if there are things that can go for those values, great. Why not let them go so you can be more available?
Yeah. Well, it's back to the like to the awake diagram that I'm thinking of. It was those three circles, right? With the inner circle being your identity, mm-hmm. right? So our identity in Christ. That second circle is the discipline. Mm-hmm. So what are you like? What are you doing within that? Mm-hmm. How is your conduct? And then that third circle being an outcome,
yep.
right? And so yep. if you work inside out, then most of the time all of the time you're going off of who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
Compared to outside in where, oh, I didn't sell a car. The cattle sold for less than I wanted to, something, whatever it may be. Okay, well then now that just changes my conduct. Okay, now that's kind of changing who I am mm-hmm. and my identity all of a mm-hmm. sudden. So I think there are so many practical, like kind of visual images that this is how your heart needs to kind of be and your character needs to reflect. And, yeah. and one of those images, yes, that circle image is a good one that mm-hmm. that's been on that. So,
and I mean, what better time to start thinking about these things as we wrap up a year and look to this new year for those of you who are listening, to really sit and remember who you are at your core. What is most important about what you prioritize in life? And it's got to be Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be other aspects. If you're married, it's your marriage. If you're a parent, it's your kids. Outside of those things, what can go? What can go so that you can be more available? Start putting sticky notes down on the table. Start mm-hmm. thinking through the aspects that you want to bring under the Lordship of Jesus so that you can follow him
in
those ways.
Having intentional conversations with your wife. I think, a monthly, quarterly, yearly, obviously it's going to have to be set time that you have to drive out these margins, mm-hmm. Sundays work because the kids are napping and you can mute Tony Romo, he's awful to listen to, and so then you can have these, and maybe that's during the Chiefs game isn't the best, but Sundays are available for time. There is time. And then if you can just think about, you get on the same page with your wife and you guys are on the same page. Yep. That way your margins are there. Then things are humming and the intimacy, mm-hmm. right, is there. The intimacy is between you and your wife, between you and God, between your wife and God, and that's what we want, that spiritual intimacy and that intimacy with our wives and others as well, however you yep. look at that. So yeah. for sure, that I pray that myself, my wife, and others listening, that practicality of having that conversation and the sticky notes, just give it a try. Mm-hmm. What's the worst? Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Matt, do you have any closing thoughts or encouragement for guys as we kind of wrap up this year of conversations on our calling as men and look to the new year?
There are 1,000 excuses out there not to do what we're talking about. Mm. There's 1,000 excuses not to join a small group. There's 1,000 excuses. Well, 6 o'clock, that's awful early to go to mm-hmm. men's prayer. 6:30 for the awake while I'm busy. And, if you need excuses, I've got them because I've used them for 20 some years. Yeah. But the joy, I'll use the word, the joy of getting to know the two of you. Mm-hmm. I've golfed with both of you. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, I never would have known you because mm-hmm. I would have been coming in and sitting in the pew and leaving. Mm-hmm. I would never got to meet you. And I could list 30 men at church that I went to church with them for years and years and years. Greg Armbruster and I sat in the same church for 20 some years and mm-hmm. just met him a few years ago, mm-hmm. So be active, get involved. If you're really going to, and not that I'm doing it the right way, don't say that, but you can't do it. I can tell you how to do it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I did it. Just come in and sit in the pew and leave. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong way. Get involved, get in a small group, an accountability group, an awake, know people, get to know people.
And be known yourself.
And mm-hmm. be vulnerable yeah. enough mm-hmm. to share your highs and your lows mm-hmm. and be vulnerable enough to share those with people.
Yeah.
I think that's been the best part of the men's ministry and the groups that I've been in is just the impact that they've had on me.
Yeah. And I think, guys, you're going to be shocked by what God does when you do that. When you live that kind of a life that you're available to say yes to him when he moves you in these directions, I think you're going to be shocked at the joy that is there. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I think that we can just feel tired. We can feel the hard, we can feel the sacrifice. And the joy sometimes comes later than we might want it to because mm-hmm. we're an instant gratification kind mm-hmm. of people. but you're going to be surprised at what God does when we give him our full and unequivocal yes. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we want for you guys. It's not so much what we want from you. Mm-hmm. It's what we want for you. Mm-hmm. That's why we do these episodes. That's why we put on these studies, is as a way to encourage you that life with Jesus and a life lived with your brothers is the best life. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. So Matt, I'm thankful for you sharing your story. Thanks for coming on, and hopefully people get to listen to this.
We'll see if it records. Yeah.
I haven't heard anything yet, so I think that we're good for now. And Sean, I appreciate you, man, and just getting to be on the pod together. So yeah. Guys, we are grateful for a year of getting to unpack this calling of what it means to be a man, to work and to keep in the gardens that God has placed us in. I pray that you have had some time to really reflect on that. The opportunity that God has placed before us. And it's always our prayer in the Awake podcast and in the Awake study that we could be vehicles that God would use to awaken you to the reality of who he is, make you aware of the opportunities that are in front of you, and to encourage you to live an available life. Yeah. That's really what we want. So thank you for tuning in to a whole year's worth of Awake podcast episodes, and we look forward to seeing you again in the new year.